You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to this podcast series on the emerging roles of oral endocrine therapies in community care for HR-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer. This is the third of a three-episode series offered by Med Learning Group and designed to meet the educational needs of U.S.-based community oncology teams, including oncologists and advanced practice providers involved in the treatment of patients with metastatic breast cancer. My name is Erica Mayer. I am the Director of Breast Cancer Clinical Research in the Breast Oncology Center at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, Massachusetts, and an Associate Professor in Medicine at Harvard Medical School. I will be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about adverse event management with use of oral endocrine therapies for HR-positive, HER2-negative metastatic disease. I am so honored that joining me today is my dear colleague, Dr. Kevin Kalinske, professor and director in the Division of Medical Oncology of the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Emory University School of Medicine and director of the Glenn Family Breast Center at Winship in Atlanta. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Dr. Mayer. It's really a pleasure. Thank you for including me.
So I think we're all familiar with the common toxicities associated with what we might think of as our conventional endocrine therapies, such as aromatase inhibitors and fulvestrant used either in the advanced setting or even the early stage setting. But as we move into an era of novel endocrine therapies, which is super exciting, do you have any safety concerns about these emerging oral endocrine agents? Maybe if you can walk us through kind of our traditional endocrine toxicity and then talk about what we know about these new agents.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, as you mentioned, this is really an emerging field where we currently have some oral selective estrogen receptor downregulators approved, and we are hoping to have additional ones in our armamentarium. You know, in terms of our conventional, traditional endocrine therapies that we have tamoxifen, we have aromatase inhibitors, we have fulvestrant, and, you know, what we've seen, including in our patients with early stage disease, and just to make sure we're all fully aligned here, you know, we offer tamoxifen and aromatase inhibitors for early stage and metastatic disease and fulvestrant and metastatic disease. You know, what we've seen, for instance, with aromatase inhibitors is that patients can have significant arthralgias, they can have hot flashes, vaginal dryness. With tamoxifen, we can also see impacts on mood, also some rare toxicities like thromboembolic events, also slight increased risk for uterine cancer. And then we've also seen with aromatase inhibitors that it can impact bone density, especially for people who have pre-existing osteopenia, osteoporosis. And with fulvestrant, which again, we give in patients with metastatic disease, we've seen that, you know, one of the major side effects is just getting those injections, right? Because we're giving intramuscular injections every other week for three times and then once a month. And we've always been concerned that with the way that we are administering it, that we're not hitting the pharmacokinetics of down-regulating the estrogen receptor the way that we would like with other agents, i.e. the oral SERDs. So what we've seen with the oral SERDs thus far is that they seem to be, for the most part, well-tolerated. We have seen that we can identify with the various SERDs issues like low-grade nausea, perhaps some fatigue, and some low-grade toxicities along that line. I will also say that not all the oral SERDs are the same in terms of their toxicity profile. And, you know, there are some that have some unique side effects that are worth us talking about that kind of discriminate one versus another. And so to be a little bit more specific, you know, when we think about camizestrant, which has been evaluated in various randomized studies, including a study that you were actively participating in as well, 3-6, where we saw that there could be a risk for photopsia, which, you know, Erica Hamilton, one of our colleagues, describes, I think, very well, the idea of one is walking out of a movie theater and then you have that change in your eyesight. That is often what patients are describing. Again, that is something that is low grade, but something that is unique to that particular agent. We can also see some bradycardia as well as some QTC prolongation. And when we think about bradycardia, we also think about giredestrant, which you also have been heavily involved with and reported recently from the Avera study. And one of the side effects that we can see with giredestrant is bradycardia. And then when we think about imlunestrant, for instance, there are some reported gastrointestinal issues, maybe some diarrhea. But again, you know, we've even seen for patients with early stage disease, when we think about giving endocrine therapy, we see for various reasons, patients might stop their endocrine therapy early. And we certainly hear from our patients that they are not able to tolerate those agents in the early stage setting. So just want to end with this comment of, you know, in metastatic disease, of course, we want drugs that are better than what we give standard endocrine therapy wise. But where the power of these agents may also lie is in the early stage setting, where we also know that patients have some adherence issues with endocrine therapy.
Thank you. That's a terrific summary. And I love how you really stress how these are better tolerated. You know, the sense is that they're better tolerated than our existing conventional endocrine agents, which of course is going to help our patients take drug and stay on drug. I think it's also really interesting that some of the SERD data is moving from monotherapy to combination therapy. What do we know about the toxicity experience in patients who are taking a combination of oral SERD with a targeted agent?
Yeah, no, we have a few series now that have been described. So maybe I can start with the Avera data, and you'll keep me honest here, given that you know these data better than anybody. And so what I would say is, it seemed like the toxicities that we saw with the combination, again, in the study, which compared giving endocrine therapy plus everolimus versus giredestrant plus everolimus, the main toxicity that we saw included stomatitis and adverse effects that were related to the everolimus, not so much the giredestrant. It didn't seem like that was adding much in the way of toxicity. And then the rates of discontinuation were relatively low. We also have data from EMBER-3, which randomly assigned this three-arm study, standard choice endocrine therapy versus imlunestrant versus imlunestrant plus abemaciclib. And ultimately, when we saw the combination, a lot of the added toxicities were from the abemaciclib, gastrointestinal issues, diarrhea, etc. And again, relatively low rates of discontinuation. And then we also had data from the ELEVATE study, which has been looking at various combinations of elacestrant plus various targeted therapies. And again, no added toxicities that we're seeing. The one other comment that I will make is that not all of our novel endocrine therapies combine equally with target therapy. So like one example is vepdegestrant, which is a PROTAC. It's different than the oral SERDs that we're talking about. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that we've seen that, you know, giving palbociclib, for instance, that it needed to be a modified dose, just given, some drug-drug interactions. And so it's important to think about this clinically, because I just want to make sure that we're not just adding endocrine therapies to targeted therapies. We want to make sure that we have a wealth of data supporting that before doing that, just given that not all drugs combine similarly.
Thank you. That's a super important point. You know, we may be heading towards a future where we could have a variety of options combining oral SERDs and targeted agents. And it doesn't mean that we have the ability as providers to mix and match and pick your favorite SERD and your favorite CDK4/6 inhibitor and put them together if that's not been studied and if that's not approved, because we could be putting our patients in danger, especially if there's a drug interaction. So thanks for bringing that up. I think getting back to some of the points we made before, I think eye symptoms and eye toxicity is kind of a new space for medical oncologists. You know, we're not ophthalmologists, and so we're still learning a bit about what eye toxicity means. But it turns out having problems related to eyes is not really new with endocrine therapies, especially aromatase inhibitors. Could you talk a little bit more about kind of eye toxicity and what we might encounter and you know, a little bit more about photopsia?
Yeah. You know, the photopsia that patients, that we can see in particular with camizestrant tends to be very intermittent, isn't impacting necessarily per patient reports their quality of life. And it is something that it is important to be aware of. And so when there's a point where we are discussing this agent with patients, it's always important the way that we talk about, you know, for instance, arthralgias with aromatase inhibitors, that we convey this particular toxicity to patients so that they're not surprised and freak out when that happens. I also think you're asking a question that has a larger context to it. Just, you know, oftentimes it takes a village to manage our patients, meaning, you know, sometimes we have a hard time with glucose management and we need to get endocrinology involved for instance, some of the PI3K-AKT pathway inhibitors that we utilize. And, you know, we also have ocular toxicities that we can see, for instance, keratitis with some approved antibody drug conjugates like Dato-DXd. And, you know, I think that we are increasingly learning how to best administer and treat these patients. You know, thankfully, the rates of these sorts of toxicities are, especially when we think about camizestrant, is low and, you know, a low grade toxicity. But, you know, we will see as we have additional agents that come to clinic what the impact will be on ocular toxicities. We've, for instance, seen the development of some HER2 antibody drug conjugates where we saw really significant ocular toxicities and those drugs aren't moving along. And so really the point that I'm making is the ocular toxicity, the way that we think that not all the novel SERDs are similar to one another. Also, the ocular toxicities are not all the same, and photopsia is different than keratitis, you know, where we can see some real irritation of the eyes.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just because we're calling photopsia toxicity, it's very different than other types of toxicity. And as you point out, it doesn't impair patients' activities. It doesn't impair their quality of life. It doesn't impair their visual acuity. It's just a thing they may notice and they may report. And so I think for us as medical oncologists, it's not something to be scared of or, you know, worry that we're going to harm our patients with that type of drug. I think similarly for bradycardia, what we've seen is that that's all very mild. It doesn't impact activity, but certainly calling in cardiology can be helpful if we need it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Great. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. But I want to thank you so much, Kevin, for taking the time to speak with us. And thanks for all our listeners for joining us. If you haven't already, please listen to episodes 1 and 2 of this series to learn more about the development of oral endocrine therapies and molecular testing to guide their use. Hopefully, you'll be able to tune in and to also explore the many other types of CME programs that MedLearning Group offers. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to AstraZeneca Pharmaceuticals, who provided the unrestricted grant for this educational activity. Have a great day.